Open your Bibles, Acts chapter 9 and Acts chapter 22. I'm going to bring a message this morning that is an answer to some questions that I've heard recently. And even Lorette asked me a question, oh man, it must have been 3 years ago, about a passage of Scripture in the book of Acts. Well, two passages of Scripture in the book of Acts that seem to be saying different things. And people who are Bible doubters love to focus on those because they say that there's a contradiction in the Word of God. And, you know, whenever you arrive at the book of Acts, first of all, you have to remember that you're not looking at a doctrinal book. There are many things that transpire in the book of Acts that are not doctrinal for those of us who live in the dispensation of grace. The book of Acts is a transitional book. It is not a doctrinal book. You don't get doctrines for the church in the book of Acts, which is taking you from law to grace. The book of Acts has its purpose. It's the book between. It's the bridge that connects what God was doing to what God is doing today, but there had to be a transition that brought us to where we are today, or no one would know why we're here or how we got here or what happened to Israel or the fall of Israel. Or you'd never know any of those things unless you read it in the book of Acts. So Acts is not a doctrinal book. Notice here on our brand new chart this morning, and I'm just going to do this very quickly, but this chart will always be up now, every Sunday morning, and it will be up better than it is now. But notice that in the beginning, God, you know, the Garden of Eden, and then God took Abraham and he separated him from the Gentiles, and he brought him up here and gave him a promise. And the promise was that he would be a blessing to all the nations of the world. Through his seed, all the world would be blessed. And so the Gentiles remained down here, and Abraham and his seed came up here, and God's purpose from the time he separated Abraham from the nations was that through him the whole world would be blessed. And that was, you know, then you had the promise of that, then Moses came in and God gave him the law, and David came in and the kingdom was prophesied, a kingdom of Israel. And then Jesus Christ arrives on the scene, and the kingdom is now at hand. And then they crucify Christ. He ascends. Peter begins to preach the kingdom again. The kingdom is offered one more time to Israel. And if everything had gone according to plan, then they would have entered into the 7-year tribulation, because Peter said, "This is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel." And that was the 7-year tribulation. That's what Joel had talked about. And then Jesus Christ would have returned at the end of the second, at the end of the tribulation period. And then they established a 1,000-year reign. And then he would have gone into Ephesians 1:10, the fullness of the dispensation of times, the dispensation of the fullness of times, and into eternity to come. This is how it would have unfolded. But they stoned Stephen in Acts chapter 7. And rather than this coming, this was suspended. The 7-year tribulation, Daniel's 7 weeks, that was suspended, and the mystery program, God saved the Apostle Paul and gave him the revelation of the mystery, and that's where the grace period came in. That's how we came in, because they rejected their Messiah. And then Israel fell. At Acts chapter 7, Israel fell and was rejoined with the Gentiles and became just common, ordinary people. They were no longer God's favored nation. They had been dismounted from their wonderful, special position in God's favor. And then that's why in Acts chapter 2, Paul says that he would go to the heathen. And yet that's Acts chapter 15, and because Acts 28 is here, Acts begins over here. So right here, Acts 15, he says that he would go to the heathen. But every city Paul goes into, he goes to the synagogue first, and then he goes to the Gentiles. Well, if he goes to the synagogues, he said he was going to go to the heathen. Did he lie? And of course, the answer is no, because after they were dismounted from their position of favor, they became heathen. They were just like the heathen, both in need of the gospel of the grace of God. And then at the end of the church age, the rapture of the church will take place, and then this program that should have happened here will resume again. And Hebrews through Revelation is these books that has to do with prophecy, which prophecy should have been fulfilled right here. So you have time past, but now, and then in the ages to come, divided for us in the Word of God. So the book of Acts falls into this period where you're not in the but now yet. But now begins here, but the book of Acts is in the time past and is transitional in nature, bringing us into grace, the grace period that you and I are part of. We're in the grace and peace period, not judgment and war. Okay. So I want us to read two passages. One in Acts 9, verse 7. And the men which journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no man. All right? And then keep your finger there. In Acts chapter 22, and verse 9. And this is another account of Paul's conversion on the road to Damascus. And they that were with me, 22:9, they that were with me saw indeed the light and were afraid, but they heard not the voice of him that spake to me. So one verse says that in 9:7, they heard the voice but seeing no man. They heard the voice but seeing no man. And in 22:9, they heard not the voice. Okay, so one says they heard the voice, one says they did not hear the voice. And so some people say that Acts 9:7 and Acts 22:9 are contradictions, and there is no explanation, that it cannot be explained. And they rest secure and smug in the fact that they found a contradiction in the Word of God, therefore none of it can be relied upon. So naturally, when I hear things like that, I say to myself, there really is no problem that cannot be explained under the heading of time past, but now, and ages to come. Under those three headings, there is an explanation for everything in the Word of God, because the fact of the matter is, there are no contradictions in the Word of God, as you will plainly see this morning. The Word of God is not a maze. It's not designed to confuse us, okay? But it is a book that is designed to be studied in a particular manner. I used to live in Boston. That's how we said manna. No, I never lived in Boston. But it is to be studied in a particular manner. It must be studied according to Paul's instructions, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15, where he said, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." Because right division puts everything into its proper place and removes the difficulties that so many people find impossible to solve, like this passage, these two passages that we looked at. So we are to study this book, and as we study it, things unfold before us and explain themselves to us. That's the nature of the book of God. But the fact is, there are no contradictions in the Bible. So it's important now to understand that in Acts chapter 9, what transpired there was for the benefit of Saul of Tarsus. It was for his benefit. That experience was all about him. It wasn't about those who traveled with him. Okay? It was him. Now, in the first 12 chapters of the book of Acts, Peter is the main character, because we're still dealing with the kingdom. So Peter's the main character because he's been trained and been told that he's going to sit on the 12 thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. So he's reoffering the kingdom. That's all he knows. That's all he's been taught. But then after the fall of Israel, Paul is the main character throughout the rest of the book of Acts. And so how do you account for that glaringly obvious change? Of course, it's very simple. Peter is the minister of the circumcision. He's the minister to Israel. And his ministry is centered in and focused around the kingdom program. Which kingdom program we are not in today. We're not in a kingdom. We're in the body of Christ. The body of Christ is not a kingdom. It's a new, one new man is what we are and what we have become. So Paul's ministry centers in and is focused exclusively upon the grace of God, which Peter didn't know about that. Peter preached law, and that's why when they continued in the apostles' doctrine in Acts chapter 2, that fear came upon every soul. Well, when Paul preached grace, fear didn't come upon you. Peace came upon you, and relief came upon you. That you're in, you know, the grace of God has been offered to you. But not with Peter's program. But what I want us to do now is focus on some of the obvious things first. Let's look at what people always look at. And Acts chapter 9, verse 7, and in Acts chapter 22. But what I'm going to do now in 9 is read the whole context from verses 3 to 9. And especially focusing on verse 7. But verse 3, "And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus. And suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth, and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, Arise, and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. And the men which journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no man. And Saul rose from the earth, and when his eyes were opened, he saw no man, and he was blind. But they led him by the hand, and brought him into Damascus. And he was 3 days without sight, and neither did eat nor drink." So verse 7 has been a source of problems and even contention for many who do not acknowledge Paul's unique and distinctive ministry. The reason for this is they contrast Acts chapter 9 verse 7 to Acts chapter 22 verse 9, which we read, "And they that were with me saw indeed the light and were afraid, but they heard not the voice of him that spake to me." So now you've got two passages of scripture, one saying they heard a voice but seeing no man, and one saying they heard not the voice. And as I mentioned a few moments ago, I personally heard someone say that there is no answer to this, that it is a contradiction. And of course, when I hear something like that, I consider it kind of a challenge and say, well, let's look at that, and let's look at it closely and find out if we can solve this apparent problem. So, it is a problem to some people. What I want to do is shed some scriptural light on this subject this morning from the Word of God. So, let's look at the evidence of Acts chapter 9, and then we'll expand beyond that. But notice in Acts chapter 9 and verse 17, and a while ago, a few moments ago, I said that what happened in Acts 9 was for Saul of Tarsus. It was for him. He's the subject of what's happening. And that's very important in understanding this. Acts 9:17, "And Ananias went his way, and entered into the house, and putting his hands on him, said, Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus, that appeared unto thee." Now notice, Paul was with a group of people. But notice how now Ananias, who wasn't even there, but was told by the Lord to go and get Paul, get Saul, now tells him what happened. He's telling him what happened. He says, the Lord Jesus that appeared unto you in the way. He doesn't say appeared to the whole group. Okay? Hath sent me that thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. So he appeared to Saul. And that's consistent with verse 7. It says, they saw no man. They didn't see anybody, but he appeared to Saul. Okay? So far, so good. But notice down in Acts 9:27, but Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles and declared unto them, how he, that's Saul, how he had seen the Lord in the way, and that he, the Lord, had spoken to him, and how he had preached boldly at Damascus in the name of Jesus. According to verse 27, Paul saw the Lord, and who did the Lord speak to? To him. And that he had spoken to him, not everyone in the group. Okay? It's God was speaking to Saul of Tarsus. So according to this, did he speak to those that were with Paul? No, absolutely not. So how do we explain that they heard a voice? Because it says, one place says they heard, another place says they did not hear the voice. Okay? Well, it's very simple. You have to take into consideration all of the accounts of Paul's conversion. Everyone who cast doubt on this narrative, these two narratives in the Word of God, always isolate their point of view to Acts chapter 9, verse 7, and Acts 22, verse 9, and build their argument from these two secluded or isolated passages of Scripture. And that's an unjust approach to the Scripture, and I'll tell you why. There are three accounts of Paul's conversion on the road to Damascus in the book of Acts. The last account sheds light. It's Acts chapter 26. Keep your finger in all these places if you want to. Acts chapter 26, verse 12. This is where Paul's recounting his experience on the road to Damascus to King Agrippa. Acts 26, 12. Whereupon, as I went to Damascus with authority and commission from the chief priests, at midday, O king, I saw in the way a light from heaven above the brightness of the sun, shining round about me, and them which journeyed with me. And when we were all fallen to the earth, I heard a voice speaking unto me, and saying in the Hebrew tongue, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. Notice he doesn't say, we all heard a voice. Not at all. He says, I heard a voice speaking unto me, and that excludes everyone else. But in Acts 9:7, it says, they heard a voice. You see? 9:7 says, they did hear a voice. Here he says, I heard the voice speaking unto me. Now, since it says they heard a voice, the inevitable question that we must ask is this. Well, what did they hear? They obviously heard something on the road to Damascus. All those that were with Paul in that group that day heard something. Okay? So let's allow the Bible to speak for itself. Because remember, we're still under the prophetic program at this juncture. When you're at, now all these three accounts have to do with Acts chapter 9. In Acts chapter 9, there's only one program that is intact. The Apostle Paul has not received the revelation of the mystery at this point. He's just being saved. See, he doesn't get saved and receive the whole revelation of the dispensation of grace right there. He spends 3 years in an Arabian desert after this and receiving revelation progressively. And then even throughout the book of Acts, he receives things from the Lord as he goes. He doesn't get it all in one clip. You know, here it is, boom. like put a funnel on his head and pour it all in, and then that's it. He's got it all. That wasn't how it happened. He received it progressively, and he even tells us that. So I want to look at an incident that took place in those days, not the days of grace. I don't want to look at something that happened in the days of grace, but something that took place during the kingdom program, and see some of the characteristics that attended God speaking from heaven, and how those who were present reacted when they heard the voice of God. Now, before we look back, let's remember that under God's prophetic program, things are always different than they are during the dispensation of grace, the program that you and I belong to today. Nothing that happened back here is identical to what happens here. We walk by faith, not by sight. They did not walk by faith. The Jews require a sign. They needed to see something. We don't need to see. We walk by faith. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. So turn with me to Matthew chapter 7. And notice a narrative here. Matthew chapter 17. Did I say 7? 17. Matthew chapter 17. Okay, Matthew 17, verses 1 through 6. And after 6 days, Jesus taketh Peter, James, and John, his brother, and bringeth them up into an high mountain apart, and was transfigured before them, and his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as the light. And behold, there appeared unto them Moses and Elias talking with him. Then answered Peter and said unto Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If thou wilt, let us make here 3 tabernacles, one for thee, and one for Moses, and one for Elias. While he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and behold, listen, a voice out of the cloud, which said, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. And when the disciples heard it, they fell on their face and were sore afraid. They were afraid when they heard, This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Now, let me say this. Notice in Matthew 16, verses 13 through 16, when Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, Some say thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. He saith unto them, But whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. You see, not long before this experience, they had heard Peter saying, You're the Son of the living God. Now they hear God saying, Thou art my Son. Well, they weren't afraid when Peter said it. Now are they afraid when they hear basically the same thing? Are they afraid at the fact that he's the Son? No. That had already been revealed to Peter. I don't know how long before, but it mustn't have been. There's no time frame here. But, we're talking maybe a day, maybe a week. They heard those words. That was the profession directly from Peter's mouth. And like I say, no one was afraid when Peter spoke those words. Why were they afraid in Matthew chapter 17 and verse 6? They're afraid not of what was said, but of the voice that said it. They heard God say something, but you know what? They didn't hear what he said. They just heard something. It was not audible to them, because that would not have scared them that God said that. Now you might say, well, you know, you might be stretching it there. Well, really? Turn to John chapter 12. John's Gospel, chapter 12. John chapter 12, verse 28 and 29. This is where the Lord says, Father, glorify thy name. Then came there a voice from heaven saying, I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. That's God spoke from heaven. The people, therefore, that stood by and heard it said that it thundered. Others said an angel spake to him. Well, was it any of those two things? Did it thunder? Was it an angel that spoke to him? No, it was neither. It was the Father speaking to the Son. The Son heard and understood every word that was spoken from the Father, but to the people who were there, it was just a noise, like thunder. Can you wonder why now that those in Matthew 17 were afraid? Can you imagine God thundering? Just think of the loudest thunder that you ever heard in your life that rattled and shook the windows. You remember that, don't you? Because that must have happened to everybody, because I know it happened to me. At one point in my life, it was so loud, I thought the thunder had come down to the ground. Everything just rattled. And the cats took off. Okay? Well, magnify that. Magnify that by hundreds of times if God speaks from heaven. And His voice thundered. See? So here was a group of people who were present when God spoke from heaven, and they thought it thundered. Did they hear His voice? Yeah. Did they understand what He said? No. But they heard something, didn't they? But it was just a noise to them. Now, interestingly enough, this same word in John 12:28, then came there a voice from heaven, which they thought was thunder, is the same word as Acts chapter 9, verse 7. 9:7 says they heard a voice. Acts 22:9 says they heard a voice. In John 12, they heard a voice. But what they really heard was thunder. They heard something. They heard a noise. In Acts chapter 26 and verse 14, Paul said, and when we were all fallen to the earth, you see? When we were all fallen to the earth. That's very important. You know why? That voice. That sound, that voice that spoke to Paul. That sound that the others heard. Probably that thunder that they heard, which Paul heard audibly. That's why I say this was for the benefit of Saul of Tarsus. God was speaking to him, not the others. Yeah, they heard something. But they didn't hear audibly distinguishable voice from God. They heard His voice. See? But only Saul heard the voice and understood the words because the Lord was speaking to him, not the rest of the people that were with him. That's very important in understanding. Who's the one who received the revelation of the mystery? Those that were with him or that guy right there? It was Paul. Paul received the revelation. God spoke to him. See? Acts 9:17 tells you, I want to read this again, and Ananias went his way and entered into the house and putting his hands on him said, Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus, that appeared unto thee in the way as thou camest, hath sent me that thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. See, he says, the Lord that appeared unto thee. Then in verse 27 of Acts 9, but Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles and declared unto them how he had seen the Lord in the way and that He, the Lord, had spoken to him. And now he had preached boldly at Damascus in the name of Jesus. So who did Jesus Christ speak to? Specifically, the Bible identifies who he spoke to. It identifies him. That's very important. Because they did not all hear something. I mean, they all heard something from heaven. They all heard a noise. Now the thing is this, the word voice means a sound or a noise. Look it up in your Strong's Concordance. It means a sound or a noise. Okay? In Acts 9:7 and 2:29, the voice simply means they heard a sound or they heard a noise. Like thunder, maybe. Okay? Not an audibly distinguishable sentence of words understood by those who heard the noise. Now the word voice does not always mean audible words. Now here's an important thing, okay? You know what says they heard the voice? And one place says they did not hear the voice? Okay. They did not hear the audible sentence, but they heard the voice. They heard a noise. There's no contradiction at all. Look at Matthew chapter 2, and I'm going to show you some passages of Scripture where this word voice, by the way, the Greek word voice is phone. P-H-O-N-E, phone. That's the word. That's the Greek word. And sometimes, you know, you don't hear that well on a phone, especially if you've got one of those cheap cell phones. Matthew 2, verse 18, in Ramah, there was a voice heard, lamentation and weeping and great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children and would not be comforted because they are not. Now notice it says, there was a voice heard, lamentation and weeping and great mourning. You know what? If some of you were to start weeping and crying and lamenting this morning, there would be something coming out of your voice. There would be some noise, but it's not words. But I hear something. I hear your voice. But I don't hear you saying anything. You see? Voice doesn't always mean words. It means, you know, I mean, if a baby's crying, guess what you're hearing? You're hearing his voice. They heard a voice. But did they hear him speak? No. Notice Matthew chapter 24. Matthew chapter 24, verse 31. Now here's something interesting, because that word voice, he shall send his angels with a great sound. That word great sound, that's the same Greek word voice, phone. That's the same word, as of a trumpet. And they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. So what you have is you have the voice here of a trumpet. You have the sound of a trumpet. But is it an audible sound? Turn to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 14. We'll begin at 7. Even things without life-giving sound. That word sound, that's the same word, voice. Even things without life-giving voice, whether pipe or harp, except they give a distinction in the sounds, how shall it be known what is pipe or harp? For if the trumpet give an uncertain sound, you see, that word sound is the word voice, in Acts. It's the same word, Greek word. But it's just, I'm showing you this to show you that word, it could have said, they could have said in Acts 9, it could have been translated voice or sound. They heard a sound. They didn't hear a sound. or they didn't hear the voice, but they heard a sound. They didn't hear the words, but they heard a sound. Because, and then verse 10, there are, it may be, so many kinds of voices in the world, and none of them is without signification. Therefore, if I know not the meaning of the voice, I shall be unto him that speaketh a barbarian, and he that speaketh shall be a barbarian unto me. I submit to you, the people who were with the Apostle Paul did not know the source of that voice. They did not know who, they did not know God, first of all, and like Paul did, because he was the recipient of the revelation, and God was speaking to him. See? And then look at Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. And verse 6. This is interesting here. Because, you see it? That word noise. That's the word voice. Sound, voice, noise, thunder. Hey, it's all the same thing, right? Now when, verse 6, Acts 2, 6. Now when this was noised abroad. Noised is the same word. Voice, sound, same word. The multitude came together and were confounded, because that every man heard them speak in his own language. But when this was noised abroad, so there you have that same word now being translated as noise, or sound, or voice, which in other places tells us it could have been an angel or thunder. See? And then just one more. Turn to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. Now, in Hebrews, now you know that we're not in the new, we're not in this program. We're not in the grace program represented by this. The rapture takes place, the church is gone, then you're from Hebrews to Revelation, you're under the prophetic program again. You're now, you're back in the kingdom program again, where the kingdom is going to be established like it was going to be the first time, but here you are. So now things are going to happen here, same way that they happen there, but Hebrews has to do with Israel. Anyway, notice Hebrews chapter 12, verse 18, where the writer says, "For ye are not come unto the mount that might be touched and that burned with fire, nor unto blackness and darkness and tempest, and the sound of a trumpet, and the voice of words, which voice they that heard entreated that the word should not be spoken to them any more." All this voice spoke, this voice here and sound, that's all the same word. Some is a trumpet, some is a sound. For they, verse 20, "For they could not endure that which was commanded, and if so much as a beast touch the mountain, it shall be stoned or thrust through with a dart. And so terrible was the sight that Moses said, I exceedingly fear and quake. But ye are come unto Mount Zion, and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect, and to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling, that speaketh better things than that of Abel. See that ye refuse not him that speaketh. For if they escape not who refused him that spake on earth, much more shall not we escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven, whose voice then shook the earth." See, remember those with Paul on the road to Damascus? They fell to the earth when that voice thundered above them. God's voice shakes the earth. But now, he hath promised, saying, "Yet once more, I shake not the earth only, but also heaven." And this word, "yet once," signifieth the removing of those things that are shaken, as of things that are made, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. Wherefore, we receiving a kingdom. That's why you know that's not written to you. You're not receiving a kingdom. They're receiving a kingdom. Israel is receiving a kingdom. But anyway, that's not the point I want to make. The point I just want to make is that God's voice shook the earth. And it, when God spoke, it thundered. And those that were with Paul experienced this. Not audible voices, not the audible voice of God, hearing what God was telling Paul, but like those that were there when Christ spoke, "Father, glorify thy name," and he says, "I have glorified it, and will yet glorify it again," and those that stood by said it thundered. That's what was happening. And then, of course, Paul is saved under the program, the grace program, and he's the one who receives the revelation of the mystery. And Paul was saved here under this program. When Paul was saved, there was no grace program in place. He was saved under Peter's kingdom program. But he emerged out of that through the revelation that was given to him. He came out of that program to the program that you and I know so well today. But had he not been saved, we would never know anything about this body of Christ. So I can tell you this, whatever that noise was, with those who travel with Paul, it knocked them to the ground. And the Word of God makes it very clear that after they fell to the ground, Paul was the only one who heard the voice audibly and intelligibly. We've read quite a few verses this morning that tell us God spoke to him. The Lord that appeared to thee spoke to him. See? And it identifies who was spoken to. And, you know, that's in perfect keeping with the revelation of the mystery. It was Paul that God was after, not those that were with him. It should come as no surprise to us that God did not speak to the others, but that he spoke to Paul and the others heard something. They heard the noise. You know, I was at my computer last night, and my cat, Tipton, he always comes up on my desk. He's always right there. And I always tell him, you know, "I love you, my boy," and blah, 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 and all those things. And last night as I was talking to him, I said, "You know what? He hears my voice. But he doesn't understand a thing I'm saying. You know? But he hears my voice." And you know, sometimes I'll say, "No!" And man, he'll jump off the desk and, or, you know, if he's biting something, I'll say, "No biting!" And he doesn't bite me though, Merrill. He just bites things, you know. He likes to nibble on things. And if I thunder my voice, guess what? He falls to the floor. But he doesn't understand me. But he hears my voice. You see, that's the distinction that we need to make when we look at a passage like this. There's no contradiction. It's just understanding what's happening at that moment. What's happening? God is getting somebody's attention. That's what's happening. And does he get his attention? "What wilt thou have me to do, Lord?" You see? The others, they're not part of this revelation. They're not part of that. They just happen to be there when God gets Saul of Tarsus' attention. And when he gets his attention, he's got his attention. See? So it was Paul who received that revelation of that mystery that was kept secret from ages and for generations, but was revealed to him. See, you must always keep in mind that the events that transpired during the conversion of Saul, who becomes Paul, are not the norm. They're not the normal thing. They don't happen today. You know, we had some people not long ago, well, I don't know how long ago it was now, a year and a half, 2 years maybe, and they thought that they saw a light themselves, just like the Apostle Paul saw on the road to Damascus, and their whole reasoning was, if God did it for Paul, he can do it for us. That was their whole reasoning about this. You know, and of course, let's face it, if the water in their bathtub clogs up, well, God could certainly part the waters for them and unstop their tub, because let's face it, God parted the waters for Moses, so surely he'll do it for you too, right? That's the kind of reasoning that people have today. Well, he did it for him, so he'll do it for me. Well, if you don't understand that you're not in this program, and what God did here, he's not doing here, And it's because of not right... See, that's what rightly dividing is. Study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing. Here's where you are. Now divide everything else away from yourself, and here's where you are, and you'll never go wrong. You just cannot go wrong. He's the one that God spoke to, not me. God doesn't speak to me. I tell you what God says because He told Paul, and Paul wrote it down. I can tell you what God said. God spoke to me this morning because I read Titus chapter 1, verse 1. That's when God spoke to me, right there. But besides that, God's not speaking. So He's the one that God gave the message to, and He's the one, Paul is the one who brings the message, brought the message to us. And this morning we have what God has said through His messenger, one Saul of Tarsus, who became the Apostle Paul. So I hope that clears up this little seemingly, this seeming discrepancy in the Word of God, which is not a discrepancy. If you take other things from the Word of God and say, well, look what happened here and look what happened here, and since those that were with Christ heard thunder or heard an angel, they didn't know what they heard. They heard a voice, but they didn't know what they heard. Well, if you know that you're in that program, look at what happened during that time and how He spoke in the Matthew 17, where Christ spoke to, He heard the voice from heaven and this is my beloved son, and they were afraid. Why? Well, John tells us they probably heard thunder too, because the ones in John heard thunder, they probably heard thunder too on the Mount of Transfiguration, because they were not receiving a revelation from God. Jesus Christ was teaching them personally, face to face. There was no revelation given to, oh yeah, well, Peter got that thing from God where thou art my son. But he was not receiving revelation like Paul did, who wrote 13 epistles about the grace of God. They weren't receiving that. Jesus Christ was speaking to them directly. So anyway, and it's so important. I mean, I can't stress enough that when Paul was saved, this did not exist yet. This existed after he received his revelation. He was saved under this program. Boy, after he writes his epistles, there's no more of this supernatural things happening. That all goes with the kingdom program, because those were signs and wonders for the sake of Israel and convincing Israel. That's what all that was. Amen. So anyway, I hope this helps you this morning. All right, let's pray. Lord, we're thankful for this time that we could spend in the Word of God. We're thankful for the Word of God, that it is the divinely inspired, preserved Word. And any Greek that we brought out today, Lord, was for the purpose of simply shedding light, not to correct the Bible. We thank Thee for Thy blessing in that name that is above every name, the name of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.